The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The hype is on. Hall of Fame level quarterback. That's what's being said about Tua Tagovailoa. But is the media developing an opinion about Tua that the NFL doesn't share? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Today was Tua's pro day. He put out a video with quarterback coach and one-time NFL quarterback Trent Dilfer showing what he could do. Last night I had a conversation with a couple of draft analysts who were telling me the NFL doesn't share the media's high opinion of Tua. That's coming up in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show. But we're debating buddy cop movies today. We're going to have that as our homework. Bubba, Nuno, Mike A., Pat, and myself will pick our favorite buddy cop movies. We'll see who picked the best one and vote on it come Monday. But for now, we're setting our big board. Here are the movies that have been mentioned so far for the best buddy cop movie. End of Watch, The Other Guys, Lethal Weapon, and Seven. What are we missing out on? Let's go to Brad in South Carolina. What's up, Brad?
Hey, Will. How's it going? I have two submissions. I'm going to go with Cop Out for one because I'm a big Kevin Smith fan. And I think you're missing a big one with Bad Boys.
Oh, you're right. Definitely Bad Boys. I haven't seen Cop Out, I don't think. Is that Ice Cube and Kevin Hart? Is that that one? Oh, that's Ride Along, right?
Bruce, that, Cop Out is Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan.
Oh, I thought you said Kevin Hart. You said you're a big Kevin.
No, Kevin Smith, the director.
Oh, Kevin Smith. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I thought about, I was trying to tell whoever picked up the line whenever I first called in, 21 Jump Street, you know, Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill.
Yep. Okay, I don't think that's going to make, well, we'll see. Maybe Pat will nominate. That's actually, that's a good point, Brad. Pat's probably going to nominate that now that I think about it.
No, mine's way better.
No, I know what Pat's going to nominate. I already found it.
You did?
Yep.
The Heat?
It's got to be the Heat, right?
Yes.
It's got to be the
That's
Heat.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to nominate.
Was it really what you were
yes,
going to say?
I was going to say that.
That or White Chicks.
I guarantee he's going to do the Heat. Jimmy from Pasadena, what's up? You're on the Will Cain Show.
Hey, Will. Thanks for taking my call. Growing up in L.A. in the 1980s, how about Colors with Sean Penn and Robert Duvall?
If we're going serious ones, you're right. I mean, Colors was huge in my life. I mean, I can rattle off. I can do that. You know, the Ice Cube song or Ice-T song right now. I mean, the Colors was huge. And the story about the Bulls, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Life lesson.
I'm not going to tell the story right now, but y'all can go look it up. The story of the Bulls overlooking a herd of cows on the hill in Colors is a life lesson. One more. Let's go to Bill in Hawaii. What's up, Bill?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Will. I've been listening to this time slot a long time since the Tirico days. And when you first took over, I was a little trepidatious, but I liken it to an arranged marriage. And I have fallen head over heels in love with this show and you, from your stay hard tagline to your monopoly on the truth and all your daily shenanigans. Speaking of shenanigans, the best buddy cop movie of all time, Super Troopers.
I don't think I've ever seen that, Bill. Super Troopers. First of all, by the way, thank you for everything you said. We've joked about it. It is the story of every relationship I've ever had, personally or professionally, that it travels the familiar path for me of I hate you to, hey, this guy's not bad. So I appreciate it very much, Bill. I haven't seen Super Troopers. You guys seen that?
Yes. I don't know if you can, because there is a, there's more than two guys in that. So I don't know how it can be a buddy cop.
Bubba mentioned one during the commercial break, Men in Black. That's a buddy cop movie, right? And I'll tell you another one. You got to put this one on the board. 48 Hours, for sure, is a buddy cop movie.
Did we say Rush Hour yet?
No, I think that counts, Pat.
Definitely. They're literally cops, and they're buddies.
Yeah. All right, Rush Hour, Eddie Murphy, Nick Nolte, 48 Hours. All right, we're getting aboard. We'll nominate here at the end of the show, each make our picks. Tua Tagovailoa had his pro day today. It's a video of him making various throws along with Trent Dilfer. There's a fascinating story, I believe it was in the Washington Post just a few days ago, about how Tua's dad reached out to Trent Dilfer and arranged for him to begin training with Dilfer in Nashville, Tennessee, in secret. He literally hid in Dilfer's office, attended the University of Alabama classes virtually while in Dilfer's office, and then when the workout facilities, the weight room, and the field were empty, because Dilfer coaches at a high school, Tua would go in. He'd lift, he'd throw when none of the high school kids were around to see it. He's been training, and Dilfer and Tua put out a video today. Now, the hype is mounting for Tua. There are many suggesting he's actually better than Joe Burrow. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN front office insider, on SportsCenter a few days ago, he said he thinks we're hyping it up way too high. Listen.
To take Tua this year in the top 10 is simply irresponsible. And here's why. Even though you could get objective medical information, as you alluded to, without actually having your doctors, trainers, strength staff be able to actually examine him, put him through a workout, see range of motion, see mobility, actually examine the hip. This is a very complicated injury. This is an injury in a part of the body that's not well vascularized. It's hard to predict how it's going to come back in terms of 2 months from now, 6 months from now. And let's all hope he has the career and it looks like things are going in the right direction. But when you look at the guaranteed money in the top 10, $35 million plus, without having your own staff be able to examine him, I could not look our owner in the eye in good conscience and say this is a responsible thing to do for our organization this year.
So Mike Tannenbaum saying it would be irresponsible to take Tua in the top 10 this year. And that brings up an interesting question. Is Tua's media hype greater than the view of him inside the NFL? Now, obviously, there's 32 different views of Tua inside the NFL, and more than that because each team is going to have multiple people with different views on him. But last night, I did a podcast that we're going to put up in our podcast feed very soon with two guys I greatly respect, Matt Miller of Bleacher Report and Lance Zierlein of NFL.com. They're both draft gurus, and I love the NFL draft. So you know we've been doing some more long-form conversations. We've talked to Rich Kleiman, Kevin Durant's manager. We've talked to a bank robber. We've talked to Wade Phillips, and last night I wanted to go deep on the draft. Not just, by the way, what's going to happen in the first round. I really want to know who the gems in the third and fourth round were at wide receiver, at safety. So we did that on a podcast, over an hour deep on the draft. But we had to set the stage. We had to talk about what happens in the first round because that dictates what happens in three and four. Interestingly, both Lance Zierlein and Matt Miller had the same thing to say about Tua. I was asking them, you know, who has the greater trade ability here, the Dolphins or the Chargers, meaning, you know, five is exponentially better than six. Everybody likes Okuda and Simmons, so you can't trade down to six. Anyway, they both rejected the premise. They said, I don't think you have to trade up for Tua. Doesn't look like the demand is there. Listen to Matt Miller.
For me, he's the number two quarterback in the draft, and it's not close. But then you have that, like, what you're hearing versus what you're seeing. And I think that's where, like last year, Daniel Jones, I didn't have him ranked as the second quarterback. I don't think very many people did. But he ends up going top 10 and being the second quarterback drafted. It almost feels like it's that way with Justin Herbert this year where, and I think, like, you know, obviously the, you know, COVID-19 has changed things where you're not able to poke and prod Tua with your team doctor like you would like to. Maybe that hurts him a little bit. But it does sound like, guys, there's a little bit of a belief out there that, man, this cat had four first-round receivers. He's got two first-round tackles. Maybe a little bit more of a product of a system since not real big, not a real strong arm. And then you got the three injuries, three pretty significant injuries, at least, that you're worried about.
Tua, that was Matt Miller at Bleacher Report. Lance Zierlein, then of NFL.com, went on to say, is a chance that Tua slides outside of the top 10, like Mike Tannenbaum was talking about it. It's not that they think Justin Herbert is better than Tua, but what you're hearing in the league is that people like Herbert, and the concerns about Tua are mounting. This is what I think. I like Tua. I think he is the second best quarterback in the draft to Joe Burrow. I think he has got something special. But the presumption that I have shared, that we have all shared, that you're going to have to trade up to number three at a minimum with the Detroit Lions and possibly number two with the Redskins to get Tua may not be there. If the Chargers are, in fact, infatuated with Justin Herbert, why do the Dolphins need to sell the farm to jump up to get Tua? In short, I would not pass on Tua. I would take him if I were the Dolphins or the Chargers if he fell to me. He would be my second choice after Burrow. But right now, it doesn't need like it doesn't look like you need to go chasing Tua. Like you're going to have to trade up for him. He might just fall to you right where you sit if you're the Miami Dolphins. I've got more on Tua and more sound from last night. I think you're really going to enjoy it. If you like the NFL draft, you got to check out that podcast when we put it up because you're going to hear, I mean, about everything. Like, do you like Tyler Johnson or James Prochet better at wide receiver? I'm telling you, it gets deep. All right, coming up, Myron Metcalf is going to jump in with us. We'll talk to him about when we get sports back. He was bullish, or bearish, rather, on the NCAA tournament. How far does that extend? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges, like over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
The XFL has gone away. Wisconsin will not extend scholarships, even though they're capable of doing so, to spring athletes that missed their season. And the UFC has canceled UFC 249. Let's break it all down, plus the best buddy cop movies with ESPN's, well, he's our college basketball analyst. He's a generalist sports expert now. He's an ESPN personality. He's a radio host. He's Myron Metcalf on the Will Cain Show. You've got so many titles now, man. I don't even know which ones I'm supposed to use.
I don't know which one I'm supposed to use after that introduction, man. That was great. It made me sound really important,
okay.
Will. I appreciate it.
You want to get in on buddy cop movies? What do you have?
Well, there's no list, right? There are two movies, and then there are all the imposters. Lethal Weapon, 48 Hours, and then everybody that tried to mimic those movies for the next 30 years. Like, that's how I see it. There's two great movies and everybody else who tried to kind of do what they did in Lethal Weapon and 48 Hours.
So here's the thing. Should I tip my hat to my hand here? I think you're right. Like, the fact I'm not going to debate you shows you something. But I don't want to. Okay. I got to have the first pick in the draft. Actually, I got last, so I do have first pick in the draft, right? Guys, I got last on lawyer movies. Yes, I did. So I have first pick.
Okay.
And I'm not afraid to say it will be between those two movies, Myron.
Okay.
One of those two movies will be my pick for buddy cop movie. Now, the wild card here is what Pat will pick, because Bubba's sitting here searching if there are any 1940s buddy cop movies. And we haven't. The oldest one I found, Bubba, was French Connection.
Nope.
That's 70s, right?
No,
or is that 60s?
There is. I found a 1949. It's a Japanese film called Stray Dog.
Oh,
that's
I found that. That's considered to be the precursor to the buddy cop. So I think that might be where he might be leaning towards.
And then the next one would be In the Heat of the Night, which is a 67.
Sidney Poitier. Yeah, okay.
I love that Myron knows it, but no, you guys are way off.
Myron, Pat nominates one of two kind of movies for us on these competitions. We've done heist movie, lawyer movie, war movie. He's either going to nominate something before 1970, an old movie, or something horrendous, like The Fast Five. Okay? He's going to go one of two ways. He has no ability to get just a good, solid 1980s through 2005 movie. He just can't do it.
Yeah, that's the Pat I know. I mean, that's the guy I know. Yeah, I'm not surprised at all.
All right, let's get some sports here with Myron Metcalf. Let's start with the XFL. So, Myron, I saw the story that the XFL has laid off all its employees, and it has canceled any plans for further future for the XFL. It's the second time the XFL has essentially gone out of business. And here's what I find so sad about this. The XFL was doing okay. It was getting good ratings. It had a television partner. To me, the XFL here is illustrative of what's going on in our country. Meaning, this business might have had a future, but because of what we're going through right now, it was totally shut down. And startups, and in the grand scheme of things, the XFL is not only a startup, but a small business, right? In the terms of sports league startups. They just can't survive something like this. And the XFL is not the only version of this. There's restaurants and small business all across this country going through this. But they're the most visible version of what thousands and thousands are experiencing.
Yeah, and I think right now it's happening to startups, as you mentioned, like the XFL. But I think the major sports organizations, they're going to change as well. Like college sports, what will that look like after all this is said and done? You got college athletics expecting to lose hundreds of millions of dollars at each school. So a lot of things will change. I just think with the XFL, the idea that maybe in the future college kids might pick the XFL as opposed to going to school. And then I think the NFL is just a hard place to sort of reinvent yourself after you've played for 3 or 4 years, and the XFL potentially could have been that. So it's sad to see it go.
I think it had a role. It had a role in the sports ecosystem, and I think it had a role in the consumers or the fans' consumption. Fans wanted some spring football. I truly do believe that. See, while the AAF might have failed, and it got decent ratings, it failed for its own financial mistakes. The XFL didn't fail for its own business problems. That's the point I'm getting at. It failed for these extreme, out-of-nowhere circumstances. And how do you business plan for that, right? Anybody that's starting something up, you can't business plan for this. And it doesn't mean your idea was bad, or it doesn't mean your market wasn't there. And I don't know that anybody will go for a spring football league again. I don't. You said how will college sports change? By the way, we heard from Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner. And I think he was on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, and he said with the revenue declines we're going to see here, especially if football goes away for a while, what you're going to see is programs cut, mostly men's programs because of Title IX at non-revenue generating sports like golf, tennis, swimming.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, there are some studies that are showing if we don't have class in the fall, because remember a lot of these schools. Students being on campus is such a big part of the revenue stream. They're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. And I think college athletic departments will shrink. I think staffs will shrink. I mean, you got Iowa football pays its strength and conditioning coach $750,000 a year for football, right?
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the Geico Giveback, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, and we're joined by ESPN reporter and co-host of Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio, Myron Metcalf. Myron's already said it's got to come down to Lethal Weapon or 48 Hours. I happen to agree with him, and I have the first pick in the draft. We'll see which one I choose as the best buddy cop movie. But the NCAA did something right, in my estimation. They granted schools the ability to extend scholarships, eligibility to spring sports athletes who just missed the end of their college careers. Sports, universities, individually can choose whether or not to honor those scholarships. The University of Wisconsin, for one, has decided not to honor scholarships for one more year. Is that right, Myron? What do we make of that?
Yeah, Wisconsin has essentially told its seniors to move on. It's been real. It's basically what they told them after the NCAA passed that legislation. Now, remember, the NCAA passes that, but there's not any guaranteed money attached to it. There's like a fund, but it's not like the NCAA is guaranteeing the scholarships. The schools have to pay for it, and I'm not surprised. I mean, I think Wisconsin will be the first of many Power Five schools that send out the same message. They can't afford it.
Myron, I have a hard time with schools crying poverty, man. I don't understand. Somebody had the stats on this. I don't know if you have them, Myron, but Nuno, was that you that put it up? The cost to extend these athletes for 1 year. It's not that much in the grand scheme of what these colleges bring in. And I'm telling you, forget the athletic departments for a moment. I've seen the stats on what colleges are doing to prices, what they charge the student body to attend their schools. And they are growing faster than the rate of inflation in this country. This college has gotten absurdly expensive. And as you and I both point out, these facilities are ridiculous, right? They're building these Shangri-Las, these country clubs. So the idea that we're not going to extend senior spring sports athletes because they can't afford it, I just can't buy it, Myron.
Well, you gotta, what do you tell the incoming guys? I mean, I've talked to coaches about this. I talked to two, actually big time basketball coaches who for a while they were considering, okay, are winter athletes potentially going to be a part of this? And I said, would you agree with it? And they both said, you know, publicly we'd have to, but privately no, because you've got other athletes coming in. They have to account for that. Also, I think the story of collegiate finances, is false for the most part. If you look at the numbers and how many sports actually make money, I mean, you've got basically football at these major institutions, men's basketball at most of these schools make some money. Sometimes women's basketball, maybe another sport, but for the rest of them, they're not making any money. They're losing money.
Yeah, but it's not just
so
the
that's what you got to consider.
But they have massive endowments. These colleges have so much money. I mean, they do this game of the how much the athletic department itself runs in a positive or a negative, cash flow positive or cash flow negative. But there's no doubt that colleges in general are cash flow positive. Massive endowments, massive alumni donations, massive inflationary costs, massive growth in facilities. They have the money. Tell me they don't have this right here. Ohio State is going to honor their spring sports athlete scholarship. And athletic director Gene Smith said on Friday that 31 of 70 Ohio State's spring sports seniors are choosing to return next year. So that equates to 14.28 scholarships, about $630,000 in scholarship costs, and about $900,000 in total expenses. So they can't afford $900,000.
Ohio State brought in $210 million last year as an athletics department, right? Mm-hmm. Ohio State's not a good example because Ohio State's one of the richest athletic departments in the country, right? So they can do things that other schools cannot. A more realistic measurement is something like an Iowa State, which just announced a bunch of salary reductions for coaches to try to make up for a $5 million shortfall after the NCAA tournament was canceled. Minnesota just did a study and they project that if kids don't return to campus this fall, that athletics will lose $75 million and the school itself will lose $300 million if this thing goes into the fall. So I don't know that Ohio State is necessarily realistic because they bring in more money than anybody else, but I think there are a number of Power Five schools that are more day to day than maybe people realize in terms of how much they depend on revenue that's been lost already.
Well, I'll leave it at this. I'll say this. Setting aside athletic department budgets, the rate of demand for college in this country over the last 30 years has gone through the roof. The percentage of people in this country that go on to college has gone through the roof. At the same time, prices have gone through the roof. And if these colleges have rising demand, rising costs, rising revenues coming in, and they can't somehow figure out how to balance their budgets and honor $900,000 worth of commitments in 1 year, maybe they got the wrong people running their finance departments. Maybe they got the wrong people making their fiscal choices. Because to me, this seems like a pretty, if you want to tell me there are other issues like managing your roster or playing time for guys that have been waiting, I get some of that, right? I get that it disrupts the roster and that kind of thing. But to cry poverty to me, and I'm not just talking about their athletic departments. I know that what you're telling me is true in terms of just looking at athletic department budgets. But when I look at college as a whole and you cry poverty on $900,000, something stinks in the state of Denmark.
Well, I'll tell you what. The NCAA basically said, sure, you can go get ice cream with your friends' kids as long as they pay for it, right? Like, so it's cool to pass the measurement and say you can do it, but the money, that's the problem with the schools. They got to figure out where it's going to come from. So I don't know that I'm praising the NCAA when really they just gave schools the green light to try to find the money.
Myron Metcalf here on the Will Cain Show. Myron's a big fight fan as well. UFC 249 has been canceled. Dana White, with the influence of ESPN, Disney, and California politicians, decided to cancel UFC 249. What are your thoughts, Myron?
Yeah, that was the right decision. It was a bad decision from the beginning to try to launch it during the pandemic. I knew it was never going to happen. I understand people hoping for Dana White, hoping that he figured it out, but it just never made sense to me. And the testing was the big issue. Will, if you get access to 200 or 300 tests for a fight, how do you sell that to the general public that can't get these tests? Like, I don't understand how Dana White thought he would get past that, how suddenly people are going to say, yeah, let's do this, and while also putting people at risk. It just was never going to happen, and I think he realized that yesterday.
Can I tell you my thoughts on this? I want to see what you think. I said this earlier in the show. I actually think most people's decision through this quarantine, through this pandemic so far, have been in in with good intentions, right? I can't say they've been right or they've been wrong, but I think most people have been trying to get it right. You see what I'm saying? They haven't been making decisions for reasons other than trying to get it right. They haven't been making political or partisan decisions. But when I saw this story, and by the way, I think even now, the ESPN, Disney, even Dana White, and they had a disagreement, but they think they were all trying to do what they thought was right. And then the California politicians that step in as well, I think they were as well. But what it shows me as well is the influence the politicians will have on this decision-making of when sporting events are appropriate to resume. Gavin Newsom and Dianne Feinstein clearly had a big role in this, right? This being canceled. And what it tells me is when we start asking questions about when sports will come back in the fall, we can't just be asking that from a public health perspective, and we can't just be asking that from a business perspective. It's really honestly a political question. And the political environment in the fall is going to be much different than it is now. And this issue will be much different than it is now. And it'll be when we start wondering when will sports come back, it essentially will become a very political, partisan question.
Yeah, I think this definitely is. And I think, to me, here's the scary part, I think, for a lot of people involved in this decision with Dana White. If Dana White finds a way to get around the current restrictions, what stops the NBA? What stops the NFL? What stops Major League Baseball? What stops anybody else around the country from saying, hey, he did it, we're going to find a way too? And I think that was a part of this as well. If Dana White does this, why not let everybody else do the same thing?
Wait, I have one more question for you, Myron. One more question before I lose you to commercial break. Did you think the WWE was wrong to put on WrestleMania 36?
Yes. I didn't agree with that decision either.
Okay, because I saw somebody, Ryan Glassbeagle, who used to write for the Big Lead, tweeted this. I thought it was interesting. Most people didn't criticize, by the way, the WWE. Why is it okay for the WWE to put on their event, but wrong for the UFC to put on theirs? I mean, the logistics aren't that different, right? And the human-to-human contact, not that different. So why is it okay for one, but wrong for the other?
So wrong is probably not the right word. Ill-advised, maybe. I just don't think it was a good idea to do that amid everything we're dealing with. Gathering in general. Like, it's not about the sport to me. It's about restrictions against people gathering, considering what we're up against.
Well, you're consistent on both of them. You're consistent on UFC and WWE. I'd be curious from somebody who isn't consistent, like thought it's okay for the WWE but wrong for the UFC to go forward, how you distinguish those two. All right, man. I always enjoy talking to you. I appreciate you hopping on here.
Thanks a lot, Will.
That's Myron Metcalf, ESPN reporter and co-host of Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio, which is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Terry Bradshaw does not think that Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. Bradshaw's wrong. Next on the Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Terry Bradshaw does not think Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. Terry Bradshaw's wrong. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'll let you hear from Terry Bradshaw coming up in just moments. But Spencer from Missouri is on our phone lines. What's up, Spencer?
Hey, Will. Love the show, obviously. I hope you saw the Instagram video I tagged you in yesterday of Carson Wentz making an awesome pass to the back of the end zone. I'm not even an Eagles fan. Anyway, I'm going to tell you why the Rams absolutely hit a home run with this trade and why we've got to wait one more transaction to see if this trade is a win for the Texans. Anyway, okay. As you covered with Darlington, you know, the Rams already have some really good receivers, Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp, and this is a really deep class, so if you need a receiver, you can theoretically draft one. And obviously, like you said, it was really smart for them to move on from a bad situation and kind of recognize that before it's too late. The thing is, I think that Bill O'Brien made this move not so much from an X's and O's standpoint, but from the idea that you kind of have to placate Deshaun Watson with his big contract negotiations looming. He voiced on Twitter that he wasn't, like, kind of through the lyrics of some songs and stuff, he gave us all the impression that he's not really happy in Houston with the way the team's being run. And I'm pretty sure that getting Brandon Cooks, because when you look at that team, they've got a lot of other needs aside from receiver. Like, they could really use pass rush help opposite of J.J. Watt and probably help in the secondary more than they could another receiver. But I think them going out and trading for Brandon Cooks is more than anything trying to, like, you know, get Deshaun Watson into a better mental headspace so that he, you know, there aren't any hiccups with the negotiation of his long-term deal. Anyway, thanks. I love the show.
Thanks, Spencer. I'm sure that's true. I'm sure this is an attempt to make Deshaun Watson happy. I think this. I think there's more to the DeAndre Hopkins story than we know. And I don't know that we'll ever find out everything behind the scenes on why DeAndre Hopkins was traded from the Houston Texans. I don't think it's simply because he wanted a new deal and they couldn't afford to pay him. I don't think it's simply that he clashed with Bill O'Brien. And I don't think it's simply that Bill O'Brien is so dumb as to not understand that DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best wide receivers in the league. I think there is something more to that story. And then he's trying to make the best of a bad situation. This isn't to defend every move that Bill O'Brien has ever made. It's not to defend the Laremy Tunsil trade or the Jadeveon Clowney trade. But it is to say that I think it's a little too easy to just say moron, to just say he's an idiot. That does exist. So I don't want to, like, not call it out when there is idiocy going on. In fact, a buddy of mine's texting me. I don't know if he wants me to tell who he is or not. He's saying, like, look, that Gurley deal that the Rams signed was just idiocy. It was dumb, dumb, dumb. They didn't have to do it, and everybody in the league was laughing at the Rams when they signed that Gurley deal. And and Jeff Darling and I talked about that. You can go all in on your championship window the way the Rams did without doing deals that you don't have to do. So I'm happy to accept that rebuttal, that even if the Rams were all going all in on their window, they didn't have to sign Todd Gurley to the deal that they did. So idiocy or mistakes can exist. I'm just not 100% convinced yet that that is how we chalk everything up that Bill O'Brien is doing in Houston. The guys, Nuno, Bubba, and Pat were asking me earlier, would you want Bill O'Brien as your coach? And Nuno, you were asking me what? As a Cowboys fan? And you even said as a Longhorn fan, right? Well, would I want Bill O'Brien?
It was asked if you would want Bill O'Brien as the Cowboys coach. And I think you kind of, there was a little pause there. And I think, but then I asked, would you want him if Tom Herman doesn't, if that doesn't work, would you want him as your Longhorns coach?
Here's what I think my answer to you was. I think Bill O'Brien's a good coach. And I think most of what I rely on to come to that opinion is the years that he made the Houston Texans a playoff team with – who were the quarterbacks during all those years? When they had Osweiler, they had –
T.J. Yates started a game.
Tom Savage was
in
there.
Yeah, Savage, Yates, and Osweiler started a game.
Come on. He took those teams to the playoffs. Now, granted, he's underperformed with Deshaun Watson at the quarterback position, but I think he did a lot with little during those years. Well, the only reason I pause in saying yes to Bill O'Brien is with holding out the hope that I could do better than Bill O'Brien. So in other words, I don't think he's bad, but I would still gun for higher than O'Brien. I would try to get somebody better than O'Brien, but I still think he's a pretty good coach. And I think we're chalking up a lot of what's going on in Houston as he simply doesn't know what he's doing. And granted, a lot of this is about him being a GM, not a coach, and the deals that he's making. I don't have time to play this Terry Bradshaw sound on what he had to say about Tom Brady. Tell you what, I will play that. Plus, we'll get to the Buddy Cop movie. One more on the big board. Dave from Nebraska, you think this is a Buddy Cop movie? Give me your movie really quick, Dave.
Well, I was thinking so. What do you think?
Well, you got to say the name of the movie. You want me to do it?
Oh, otherwise, I thought they told you. Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, but who's his buddy? Eddie Murphy was kind of by himself on that.
Well, but he had the two cops out there in Beverly Hills. He was kind of working with, I guess.
Yeah, was it Murtaugh? And no, that's Lethal Weapon.
That's
I appreciate the call. Buddy cop movie have to be two guys? If you go three, is it a buddy cop movie?
Yeah, it's got to be two.
I think you're right. It's got to be two. It can be serious or funny, but it's got to be two. Let's finalize the big board and draft our buddy cop movies. Plus, I'll explain why Terry Bradshaw is wrong about Tom Brady. It's Will Cain.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.